Doug Christie. He's Jason Ross.
Get off my lawn.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Hey there. What's up? Welcome in. Jason Ross, Doug Christie coming to you from Golden 1 Center. What a beautiful day in Sacramento. It's a good day to get a win, I could tell you that, Doug Christie.
Any and every day is a good day for a win.
This team needs one.
Badly. This might not be the team that you want to need a win against, and you might say, why is that? Because defensively, they are just as bad in many ways as the Kings are statistically. But because they have Russell Westbrook.
And a couple of dudes.
Yeah, and they have another dude who leads the league in scoring. Have you ever heard of Bradley Beal?
If the object, too, is to score, right? So
yes,
he's the best at it in the league?
Yeah. So you got a Mr. Triple-Double
who's
been averaging it for about 5, 6, 7, 10 years. I'm being a little
It was only important 1 year, though, apparently.
I beg to differ.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. Those are two guys that in a losing streak, that they could put together anything at any time.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been about the Kings' opponent, and it's not going to be about the Kings' opponent. It's going to be this looks different. I'm sorry. It caught me off. Do you see the difference here?
What am I missing?
Well, first of all, my Jerry section went away.
Well, they're getting ready. That's here. It's been
no,
it's,
but do you see how they're sporadically like they put people together in groups?
I'm looking at our row. The KHDK row has been spread out.
Yeah.
So I think people are going to be
as long as they.
Us.
Oh, look, there's seats between you and I. That is good.
Yeah, but I'm sitting next to Matt George.
That's a good pairing.
And then, see, what's smart is there's a good gap between Carmichael, Dave, and Chris. That's probably necessary.
I was running my mouth, and it just caught me off
guard. Yeah, they moved around. You're right.
It looks very – not very. It looks real.
Yeah. So
like you know what I mean?
Yeah, where they're staggered, you can see probably where fans will go.
Yeah.
In some form.
Right. So they'll be able to.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Look at that.
What was I saying? That caught me
off guard. I don't know. Now I'm totally looking around at everything. I didn't catch that either.
I'm excited, man. Fans back in the building.
A week from today?
Yeah.
Yesterday?
But before that.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. We do got a game.
Yes.
And this particular game is totally winnable, but I'm going to say it's not about the Kings' opponent. Like, you play the Lakers, you play the Clippers, you play like Utah, a really good team. And listen, Utah was beat by this team right here the next night after the Kings should have beat Utah.
Yeah. And hadn't lost since the first of the year in their building.
Yep. Now they are 25-4 or something crazy.
Yeah.
So this team can do it on any given night, and the Kings, Jay, what's up, buddy? The Kings just have to. They got to come out and play basketball.
Yeah,
not hoop. We don't want hooping tonight. Right. We need to play basketball.
Play some basketball. Well, today on the show, we take you till 5:30. Then we'll have game night with Scott Marsh and the High Flyer Henry Turner. We will have Five on It coming your way today. We also at 4:30. This will be fun. We always like to talk to our local guys, right? Terrence Mitchell, Doug, who's a cornerback. Now he's for the Houston Texans. Had been with the Cleveland Browns. Been around a couple different teams. Played his high school ball at Luther Burbank. Went to Oregon. But he's supporting an incredible cause as well. We rock with autism. We'll explain that more. We'll hear from him about signing a free agent deal. Hey, is he going to report to camp? Like we talked yesterday, Doug, about some teams and players not wanting to report to camp. But he's a new member of the Texans. Talk about playing at the dog pound, all those kind of things with him. But he's going to join us at 4:30. We will have Chris's over-under. We got the crossover. We also have either-or today. So two topics that Doug and I will debate between and see if we land in the same spot or elsewhere there. And what else to expect from tonight's game and the night in the NBA. That is all coming up. But let's do it. Let's start you out with First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First.
All right, first things first, it is the Kings and the Wizards tonight right here at Golden 1 Center. Front end of a back-to-back for the Kings. Tomorrow night they're in Phoenix against one of the best in the league, the Phoenix Suns. But they're going for the season sweep of the Wizards. Let's take you back not that long ago to how it ended the first matchup.
Hashimura is at the top of the three-point arc. Avdija back to the inbounder at the right elbow. Beal, far side of the floor. The lob goes cross-court. He threw it out of bounds. Can you believe that? A total breakdown by the Wizards. And Westbrook threw the ball cross court. There wasn't anybody within 10 feet of the ball. It goes out of bounds at the Kings bench. All the Kings have to do is inbound it. They do that, and they get the win. 121-119. Some inexplicable happenings in this one tonight. We saw two missed hammer jams by Russell Westbrook at critical points of the ballgame for the Wizards. We saw him miss two free throws when the Kings had a six-point lead, but they couldn't take advantage on the next offensive possession. And this time, on a second chance to put the ball in play to try to create an overtime game or a game winner, he threw it cross-court, and there was nobody anywhere near where that ball went out of bounds. Kings get the victory by two.
Yeah, that was about a month ago, Doug, and it was a win. Westbrook ended up with a triple-double. He had some highlights, but he had some lowlights, if you remember. Missed two important dunks in the game. I mean, one was a complete breakaway. He had that pass where I know you described it the next day. He was basically throwing to a spot that could have worked, but it wasn't read well by his teammate. Fox hits the late jumper, and the Kings got through that one by the skin of their teeth by 2 points.
Yeah, it's that is a game. I want to say the number was 74. Was the 74 points in the paint?
Let's see. I got it here for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
For the Wizard. Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Say it again. One more time.
70. Wow.
Wow.
74.
Because right.
The Kings also, just for context, had 42.
Okay.
You should lose that game.
You should. It's a huge number, and that is, and we'll go through it later, that is one of the keys tonight.
Wow.
Because the Kings are 30th in the points in the NBA in points in the paint. They allow 53.6. This is a team that's going to get downhill because Russell Westbrook is going to impose his will. How do the Kings guard that? Bradley Beal from the outside, Rui Hachimura, our good friend Alex Lynn. Mm. This is a dangerous game, but I will say it again. It's no longer about the Kings' opponent. It's about the Kings.
Yep.
And throw, play in, all that stuff out the window. I've seen the fact that they can compete against the best team, which is the Utah Jazz, that this team beat. But they can also fall apart against the absolute worst team. And they did that on back-to-back games for the Eastern Conference, Detroit, and the Western Conference, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, and they have all the film. They have all the knowledge of how it's been done right and how it's been done wrong. Right?
This is right. I like how you did it. This is my thing. And I went back and I was looking at numbers. So I said last three games, three-pointers, they're 10.3. That's how many they make. On the year, they're 11.9. So they're a click down in the last three games. But last year, they were at 12.7. So this year, they're down. Like, when you say that, Jason, I think part of, and that's one of my other keys, is 15-plus three-pointers tonight, is when the Kings make shots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I say about, like, De'Aaron. When De'Aaron is spectacular for the Kings, it changes the outcome. It gives you an opportunity. But they have to grow past that. Past that is playing with your brain, playing with your head, understanding the game as opposed to, I was hot. I knocked down some shots. That's why they say it's a make or miss league.
Right.
Right? Okay. In many ways it is, but at the same time, you got to understand how you get your shots, where you get your shots, how to help your teammates, and defensively learning how to and where to be, because just the other night, defensively, they were really good. 23 turnovers, I believe, for 27 points off of those turnovers. Handsy in the passing lane, shooting the gaps, all those different things. It's about the Kings. It's not about the opponent.
Yeah, and you know, now, as I told you yesterday on the air, this was my personal feeling, that as someone that's covered the team, that's followed the team, that wants them to win every game, I feel like now they've dug themselves too far a hole. Mathematically, of course they haven't. As a competitor, you should think you're going to win tonight, you're going to win tomorrow, you're going to win everything the rest of the way. It's just games left, who you've lost to, who's in front of you. Certainly it's doable, but they've shown, to me, no signs of doing the ability consistently to do that.
The season is almost like a game for the Kings fans.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is,
so they're down.
They're down big,
15-20 right now.
Yep, and then they're going to make it. They're going to make it interesting,
right?
And then you're going to go, damn,
right?
And that's kind
of a lot of the games during the year.
Exactly. That's kind of what's happened. And like that doesn't suffice for me.
Nope.
Because that means that you don't understand. I go past that because I use the terminology overstand. Don't understand me. Overstand me. And I just don't see enough of the – like, there's a couple guys on the team who know how to play basketball, and then there's an IQ drop-off that it's a must. It just – it is, especially because when you have an ultra-special talent, and that's what I believe De'Aaron Fox is, that overrides a lot of things. That's why when he goes for 40 – it's like, okay, we're probably going to win. When he goes for 30, it's like, damn, that's a really good game. But who else is doing something? If it's underneath that, pretty much, unless everyone else is really out of control, there's nothing. Tyrese understands how to play. But some of the things that they do out there, it just does not set up for putting them in the best light of the talent and the things that they have. That's why if they're not trending towards 30 assists, it's probably not going to be a good evening, because that means there's one-on-one and different things like that. I would pose the question to them, like Detroit Pistons, physical team, long team,
yeah,
athletic. So why do you put them in actions that allow them to touch you and they've studied how to play that particular play?
Right.
You put them in things that make them make decisions. Back picks, down picks, cross picks, pass, cut, pass, handoff. It's like in those you have to make a decision on a pick and roll or things like that. We've walked through it in shoot around that this is how we're playing it versus him, and this is how we're playing it versus him. And that is sometimes, and I would say for Luke, if we had him on, he would say in the games – those things change, and a lot of times it's not the coach, it's the players that have to figure out.
You have to understand that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and overstand it.
Ah!
Yes.
My man! Damn! Oh!
I guess I overstand.
Oh, man, I love you, man. Air hugs, bro. You make me feel.
Bring it in for real. Your analogy, though, and I think you're right on, Doug, on the, we're probably going to get to a point where, damn, on the season.
Uh-huh.
But it's not exclusive to this team this year. If we just do maybe just the last 2 years. So last year, I think there was a real opportunity. We know when the shutdown happened. Hey, they're playing their best basketball. That was a bummer. It was a bummer for everybody. Hey, bigger issue was COVID. Like, let's get that in, you know, under kind of wraps and in check. Hey, there's a bubble. But that was an 8-game opportunity, and that was a, oh, damn.
Right.
Missed. Yep. The year before. They weren't going to make the playoffs, but it felt like there was some increase. Last year of Jaeger, but 40 seemed like an important win total. This is big to the organization. Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm. Keep it coming.
So, like, it's not just this. It is this year. They're very guilty of it. But this has been a couple-year thing going right here, where there are years before that in this long drought where they were just bad.
See, it all plays in, for those who listen, because that is the systematic approach. So when you just throw poop at the wall and see what sticks,
ew.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not gonna cut it, man.
You clean the wall.
That too.
Yeah.
But you have to, and then you're gonna know also. Like, is this correct? Are we doing this correctly? I would say in today's basketball, more than anything, because it's about space, that means it, and you can't touch. It has to be learning how to play the game and understanding the nuances, because it's about a read and react. Mm. So if you are just dead set on running a play, that, like, does it work sometimes? Yeah. But it's bigger than that, bro. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have obviously much more on this game or what to expect for tonight's game, but let's give you more first things first.
First things first.
First things first.
All right, next up, A's off today talking baseball. They'll host Detroit tomorrow. San Francisco, the Giants playing a little day baseball right now. Last I had checked, they're still Johnny Cueto was dealing again. I'm sure he's giving that little
pause
and a little shoulder shimmy.
I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, it's 3-0 Giants in the bottom of the ninth at home against Cincinnati. So 2-7-4 teams. Giants really have gotten off to a good start. I didn't have very high expectations for them. I don't know season long how good they will be. But hey, you start 7-4, you get your pitching behind you. I know Gausman's a good starter, and Cueto's had a couple of good outings. Yeah, it's just start people believing, and maybe you got something. I don't know. It feels really early, but 7-4, you got to like that, and one out away from being 8-4.
Well, why does it have to be early? Why we just can't celebrate the success?
All right, let's celebrate it right now.
Okay, 5 2/3 for Johnny Cueto with the pause at the top.
Yeah, only that a couple is, hits, no runs,
and you're up 3-0 in the top of the ninth. I mean, that's what it's about, and you know exactly why I'm here to celebrate the time where we're at.
Why is that? You got a minute for me?
Well, I'll just say 6-5.
Postponed today.
Okay.
Weather issue. Make it.
I only have 15
tomorrow.
Seconds, but I
the
get
Mariners
it.
Minute.
I get it like I live, baby. Okay. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Move out of the way. On to the next.
And still waiting on Kyle Lewis. Still even have it here, the rookie of the year.
Can you imagine that?
You might be 7-4.
That would be leading. That'll be
and I got nothing to say because the Bombers lost again today. They're 5-7.
So my guy at the where I get my Starbucks, he had a Mariners mask on today.
What?
Yeah. And I was like,
I need picture proof.
Okay. I get that. Because the other guy had a Lakers mask on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, first of all, who the hell lets him do this? Kings fans aren't – they're not this – like, you know, there was a time where right. It'd be like, take it off right now. Like, we're not going for it. Well, anyway, that's not happening now. But, yeah, I was like, man, good looking. Do you take a lot of stuff for that? Because I take – he said, we're not usually that good. Oh, you're a Mariners fan, aren't you? I was like, damn right. I celebrate while I can, my friend. Yeah. Thank you for the coffee. I'm out.
Well, one more note I should say is, you know, we're talking about Cueto's – game that he was doing that he was having today.
Yeah,
he pulled himself out of the game with an apparent arm injury, so that's always a little bit of a concern. So he was dealing, like I said, I think it was 5 2/3.
Yeah,
but you know, we always say athletes know. I don't know if it's anything major, but pitching, they're always very protective of arms, and you're trying to get him. He's an innings eater, so you try to get as many as you can. And if there's any twinge, anything, he knew it. He said, "I'm coming out." Didn't look anything drastic on the replay, but
you looked
out.
At it.
Mm-hmm. I'll show it to you.
Yeah, that's. For a pitcher, it's always good because whether it's blisters, nails, a lot of different things. Just by him throwing the ball in the glove, kind of the way he did, he's just saying to himself, okay, that pause.
Yeah. But you don't see anything wrong structurally, but again, that's way too early to know.
He was like, that's
yeah,
it.
I need help. Okay. I need out. But he's off to a good start. They're off to a good start.
Yeah, fingers crossed for Johnny Cueto. You never want to see the guys doing that. But congratulations so far because, you know, since Jason isn't all excited because, let's see, that's how that goes. Let's go Red Sox are first.
Oh, wait, no, we're done with it.
Blue Jays. Chris, do not cut me off, Chris. Orioles, Rays. Oh,
last?
There's the Yankees.
Okay. We can do this inventory once a week if you'd like.
Well, we'll do it as long as I'm doing well.
By the way, I think the Giants did get record that last out, so it looks like they did get the win. 3-0, so they're now 8-4.
Yes, right. Sir.
Now let's give you more First Things First.
First Things First.
All right, UFC 264 is set. This is number 3, right?
Yeah.
Poirier-McGregor,
number 3. It should be
confirmed for Vegas, July 10th. Also confirmed.
What?
Capacity crowds.
Shut up.
Which I don't know what the number is for that. But anytime.
I didn't see that part.
Vegas, fight, boxing, MMA, electricity, energy. I know Jay would say, like, those are some of the best events he's ever, ever covered.
Yeah.
And it's the third time McGregor's a draw. Whether or not, I mean, he knows how to promote a fight.
So you don't really have to promote or sell this one.
No, but I mean, he is, for someone like me, who is not that into the sport, it's like, what's McGregor up to? Like, you always keep an eye on him.
Yeah, and the fact that he's lost and people enjoy that part of it.
That's part of the
fun. And he talks and the whole thing. One thing I will say about him, because some people are poor, he takes it like a man. He's like, listen. You know, I'll be back. And
then he'll sell it the next time.
He's gonna sell it. Everyone wants to see him versus Nurmagomedov. I don't know that's ever going to happen. But this is going to be pretty good. It's the trilogy. It's 1-1. Poirier, to his credit, just mangled his leg. He just kept just, ugh. And then, you know, beat the hell out of him. So
yes.
What's going to happen in the third iteration? I don't know, but I'm here for it, baby.
Absolutely.
You buying?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that. I definitely am. In July, I don't know, and this is something we'll probably ask in the coming days too, Doug, with the fact that this building is going to be open. There's a limited number of fans going to be in, but who's doing that? Who's ready? Who's ready to purchase that ticket to go to games? Some might be all in, and, you know, there's portions of fans that don't go to games anyway. Are you more curious now, or are you never going to come, or the ones that are here all the time, like, give me the clear, and I'm going in.
So we know that Johnson & Johnson got held up, yeah. Pfizer, Moderna, efficacy rate 90+. Does that give people more confidence to say, I'm going?
And I would think so.
And I'm gonna wear my mask, but right. I'm gonna go.
Yeah, that's what's been interesting is, you know, California is one of the last states, but we've seen games where there's been fans there. We've seen some baseball, and I've looked at, granted, most of these are outside. I thought, whoa, the amount of people that don't have a mask on. I don't know if I'd be comfortable with that. That's what they choose.
Even if you had your shots?
Yeah, I think so. I think, but I'm still in that mode.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I have had my shots, but doesn't mean, I mean, I'm still, you know, I don't know. We'll take our work. As a policy, it's still a policy that we need to walk around and wear masks. I don't know who all has had shots.
Right.
And so being done here at our station, grocery stores.
Yeah.
So it feels normal to me. I personally don't have a problem with the mask. I actually like the concept. And one other total sidebar, major allergy problem. I think it's helped me.
Oh,
just
really?
On that, like, did some yard work like 2 weeks ago. I was like, I'm leaving the mask. Like, I was outside of my own house, but I had a mask on just for me. Like, I didn't sneeze 100 times.
Ah.
But okay. Total random sight, you know.
You need to go see my friends at Sunrise Natural Foods.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's allergy season.
It is.
In case you didn't know.
Oh, I know.
And,
But yeah, I think that's, I don't know.
They have something for you.
I know they do.
To help you out. We want to get you outside and enjoying the springtime.
Yes.
Made with life's best ingredients.
Bang. Scene. Right there. Cut that and put it in V Creative. That's just for you. All right, let's give one more First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First.
All right, we got an NFL signing to tell you about. The Cleveland Browns signed Jadeveon Clowney. He'll be on that other rush end on the other side of Myles Garrett.
Oh.
The dog pound. Oh.
Yeah, that. What are you going to get from Jadeveon?
It's a one-year deal.
Yeah,
so
he since obviously with the Seahawks, there was a time where was he going to sign a long-term deal? Did not happen. Now he's to one-year deals. I have to think that you're getting highly motivated, mm-hmm. and bookends with him and Garrett. That's scary. Did you see that they are not signing? What's their quarterback? Why is Johnny Manziel on my
Manziel, mind? The former Baker?
Yeah, Baker. Thank you. It was coming out. They're going to make him prove it as well.
That's okay.
And I think it is okay. It's more like, are we real?
Right.
And they're asking that question, it seems, more than everyone else who kind of is like, wow, look at the talent they're amassing. So, yeah, I think Jadeveon, he'll do well on the other side. Not to mention, like, you won't be able to double-team him the same way you could in the past when you put the guy like Garrett on the other end.
Yeah, we always talk so much about, okay, if you're a receiver, hey, which quarterback are you joining? But if you're a stud defensive player, like, who else is there that's going to take – you're joining Khalil Mack, you're joining Aaron Donald, you're joining some of the other studs. Like, I'm option two or three. Like, I'm – going to get a lot of one-on-one. I'm going to go.
I think that's what happened with Sue and everybody that was on that Tampa Bay. Are they maybe a little long in the tooth? Yeah, they're getting older, but they are so good and still require you to – you can't just double-team and leave that guy one-on-one. So, yeah, some of these defensive players, I think, are thinking that way.
Yeah, and I think – you know, it was a fun story to watch Cleveland kind of have that 2 years ago cover of SI, all sorts of, this team could win the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And they fizzled.
Yeah.
Then this year, it was like nobody was really talking about them going into they disappointed us last year. Now with less eyes on them, they were almost a surprise. But that talent has been there for a couple of years. It's just I think they reached it more so this year.
Well, football is a little bit different because injuries play.
True.
It's so big. I mean, basketball as well. Football is just so violent. But also, it really starts to say whether you're a good team. And I've said this before, is once you go through the league and they get a look at you and you come back, can you do it again?
Yeah.
And is it real? Is that talent? Do you evolve? Do you add more to your game? And this is a team that seems, Jason, when the spotlight's not on them, they do a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
this year it'll be on them.
It'll be on them.
And Baker, like the stuff that now it's not only performance for the team, but your own personal performance to get that contract either here or somewhere else.
Yeah, and more commercials.
Yes, well, he's got plenty of those.
He definitely does.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I'm looking forward to the football season. I always do, but like when it gets here, it's just I think you know. Especially
we're up to four teams.
Yes, who was the fourth one? We had Tampa yesterday, Denver, Seattle.
Was it Jacksonville? I can't. I saw it right before Tennessee.
You know what? I can't remember.
What'd I say? Six.
You said we'll get six, and that was like pretty soon we'll get six.
I'm telling you, baby.
Yeah. That's even something we may ask our guest today, 4:30, Terrence Mitchell.
Okay.
Just, you know, is he thinking about it? I mean, Bear protocols is different, and just does he feel safe in that realm? Has it crossed your mind? Is it a team-wide thing? Is it an individual thing?
What do you think the numbers percentage-wise of professional athletes that have been vaccinated? Do you have any idea? Like, let's just say that it was everyone's able.
I would say right now, just because two of the sports are going on, like if we're pooling the three of the sports are going on, really, less than 50%.
Wow.
But I think it will go up because I know there's some hesitancy. Uh-huh. I don't know how much I would want to do it during this. Like if I'm an NBA player, if I'm on the Kings, I would have been interested in it for lots of reasons, but I think I would want to get through the season.
I'm doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, if I'm playing, I'm doing it, and I'm like I know that I'm gonna maybe
miss a game or two.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I've talked to people that have felt fine.
Yeah.
As I told you, I got my first.
Yeah. I had no issues. None.
Like this morning, I was a little sleepy.
Okay.
I just kind of.
Yeah.
Chilled, did my thing, but second one I hear is a lot worse. So
and it depends. Again, I tell you, I had zero.
Yeah, see,
nothing.
I totally would be. That's just me, and I understand I'm a little different. And Pete Youngman, our old trainer, we used to get into this about flu shots and different stuff. And he, as much as we travel and different stuff, and whenever I was playing, Pete would. Blue shot, boom, hook it up, make sure that you're ready to roll.
Well, I don't have any proof of this, but I remember when the Kings played the Warriors here. Yeah, I was here. And I think the day before the Warriors, but there was a bunch of video of guys getting the shot, which is great. And I think Draymond got one. I think he got the Johnson & Johnson.
Uh-huh.
And the Kerr's quote that day was like, he woke up today and wasn't feeling well. And I'm like, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he didn't play that night. No, it was one game. He's back and he's vaccinated now, good for him.
Right.
But
could you wait till the end of the year? Yeah, but you could also get to the playoffs. And you have a problem.
True.
And now we have an outbreak. I just think.
I'm just guessing on that number. But
yeah, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. Grill, fire pit, outdoor heaters. Cinch is the 100% answer for your propane needs. Cinch.com.
RJ, it's a cinch.
Yes, it is. All right, when we come back, the night in the NBA, there's supposed to be, and I say supposed to be, a huge game in the East, Philly and Brooklyn, but a lot of guys are out for Brooklyn. We'll explain that and what that game might mean long term, and could the play-in game format backfire on the NBA? We'll explain next on HDK. Back here at Sports 1140 KHDK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie. Capital Casino now open again with their outdoor gaming venue, 411 North 16th Street in Sacramento. Still to come, either or to start the next hour. Some good topics to debate coming up. But I want to look at the night in the NBA tonight, Doug. It's a busy night. Obviously, we got Kings coming up tonight against the Washington Wizards. And a game that I think has some, again, for the regular season, right? None of this is the end-all, be-all. And this isn't a must-win for either team. But just the headliner of the Nets and the 76ers just sounds good to me. And, you know, you got the top two teams in the East. One of the things, you've been big on Brooklyn, and I think they have gotten better. My concern, even when they added Harden, was, are they big enough? I think that's the one area, a team like Philly, maybe a team like Milwaukee. And so, again, tonight's not the end-all, be-all. I wanted to see that, but now, unfortunately, Doug, it looks like...
Only Kyrie.
Yeah, only Kyrie. So Harden, Griffin, Aldridge, or KD, and I'm honestly going to take nothing from this game. I mean, if Kyrie and the Nets win, I'll be impressed.
Yeah.
But I don't – that's – this to me is about the matchups later, and I won't learn anything on that tonight.
I would say that this is one of those games that's a psyche game only for Philly, meaning, like, if Brooklyn goes out and wins and we ain't got our dogs – you're in trouble.
Yeah. I feel like the Spurs used to do this. Or a few
they did.
Pop, like, hey, Timmy's not going to play tonight, but you know, we're going to sit Parker and
then still beat
and
you.
Two others. And then if we lose, it's like, we're good because we didn't have our guy. But if we beat you?
It's like sending a message.
Yeah.
I could totally agree because, like, Webb's out and we're like, oh, we still beat
you.
The
guys
hell
could
out
beat
of
you. Yeah.
Oh, you sure in trouble.
Oh, we sat Doug and we sat Mike as well. Like,
Yeah, there's not a lot here in this particular one. The only thing that I will say, Jason, that gives me a cause to pause, is there's been a lot of dinged up Brooklyn Nets, and it's happening more and more. Kyrie, you know, last game, family matter, you know, he's taken off multiple games. Is it going to mean more to him in the playoffs so he makes sure he's – could you imagine if that happens during the playoffs? Like,
right.
That would be nuts. KD, listen, when he's right, forget about it. There's really not a better player in the NBA. Like, LeBron does it different, and he's the leader in ways that Kevin Durant is not. But, like, as far as – like, Kevin Durant is the real deal.
Yeah.
James Harden – he's kind of at that point in his career where he could start breaking down a little bit. Like, could this be the beginning of that? He really doesn't have a history of being injured. He's like an Iron Man. That's the only part that really I worry about with Brooklyn. Otherwise, I truly think that they are going to run through the Eastern Conference and outscore their opponents.
Okay.
Like, give me a the only team – in my opinion, is the Milwaukee Bucks.
Not Philly.
The only reason I don't worry about Philly is, let's say Joel Embiid has an off game.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, what's next? To match them offensively?
Right.
I mean,
okay, let's say
short
KD
answer,
has an off game, in which he doesn't.
They're
but
fine. The offensive part is fine.
Right.
Yeah. But it's... Well, you know what? It's gonna. I don't know if it leads to this, but here, let's hear what Ben Simmons had to say. This was yesterday before the anticipated matchup. Now knowing that all these guys are out, it's a short clip here. But here's what Ben Simmons had to say about this matchup.
Obviously, Brooklyn has a lot of talent, but at the end of the day, you know, there's only one ball. You got to play defense too, so we got to come and prepare mentally.
Little line, little hidden in there, but it's only one ball, and you got to play defense. I'm like, okay, that's an easy thing to say because that's. Hey, yeah, they got multiple great scores, but there's only one ball. Yeah. And you got to play defense. I don't think that's the strength of the Nets, but they are so good offensively.
Yeah, you have to play defense, but you have to play offense.
Yeah.
So that's my point, is you are depending on Joel Embiid.
Right.
And what if Joel Embiid score similar to here with our Kings, if he doesn't go for 40? You guys are going to be in trouble. If he doesn't go for 30, you're going to be in more trouble. If he scores 20 points, like, people who don't necessarily score are going to have to step up in a big way. Those guys, they score in bunches and bundles. I will agree with you that there is only one ball. But I only see one player having a problem with that.
And that is?
Kyrie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than that, I truly think that they are going to be you're going to have to deal with them. Over. And see, this is the key. If it was one game, Jason,
yeah,
okay, it's a series.
Right.
And I think they find rhythm in the series. I think that those communications and film sessions and all that, that's going to help Kyrie, because that's – we're going to have to kind of talk him and walk him through why it needs to be in a particular way maybe. And I don't know, because I'm not in the locker room, and I'm not a Kyrie hater like yourself. I really appreciate that level of skill and what he brings to the table. So it's
even with those two really good perimeter defenders, and I'm putting Simmons and Thybulle in that. Now, Thybulle's not normally a starter.
I would, just because you brought this up, I heard someone talking about this. I would argue that Thybulle's a better defender than Ben Simmons, and I think Ben Simmons is the defensive player of the year.
Wow.
How about that?
Okay. But, I mean, so just based on that, knowing that their strength is Embiid,
uh-huh.
probably the weakness, I would say, of the Nets is interior,
uh-huh.
though that helps with Griffin and Aldridge and Jordan. I mean, they've got more guys, but – and then pair that with – you know what? They got probably two guys. None of them can stop those guys, uh-huh. but I think Thybulle and Simmons will make – Durant and or Harden or whatever combo of, like, work for it.
That's why I would love, similar to Gonzaga Baylor, I would love to see them play in the regular season
when it mattered. That's what
because
we'd learn something.
We had learned something, and are there going to be corrections? The one thing that I want to know is, who does Doc deploy on Kevin Durant?
Right.
I think it might be Thybulle.
Hmm. And he normally doesn't start.
I would say this. Let me take that back. I would probably deploy Thybulle on
Harden.
No.
Kyrie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to you're going to have to live with Harden, because
I think I'd live with Kyrie.
Would you?
Yeah. Because of the three best scorers, is he, this is going to sound wrong here, it's going to go to my Kyrie hater. Is he the most selfish?
You're a hater, bro.
But is he the most selfish?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Facts. Two things can be true.
Yes, yes, they can. I get what you're saying, but that's why I say that Thybulle, in my opinion, is probably the best defender on the team, and he's not going to be probably all defensive.
Yeah.
And he should be. The reason is, at that size, he can stay with and in front of a guy like Kyrie. The reason I say is, like I say, compared to De'Aaron Fox. Like, do you remember De'Aaron getting by him?
Yeah.
And then him blocking it from behind. And I just went.
Yeah. He gave him problems.
I've been there, bro.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
Yes.
And the guy that's in front of you is super special. I wish we could see it.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
We will not.
We will. Well, maybe we will when it matters most.
That Bucks team is scary.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And that may be coming up in either or here a little bit later. One more thing, too, in this segment, at least on the night in the NBA, or kind of the ramifications of the league. We know the Kings are technically still in the play-in opportunity. They still have a shot. But let's talk more about that. And one guy specifically kind of wondering about this. Let's hear Luka, who's not a fan of this play-in game.
Obviously, we're trying to get a sixth seed. I don't understand the idea of playing. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs, and then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that.
Okay, it's all how you look at things. So let's just take Dallas, for example. They are a good team. They're in the seventh seed. Right now, Doug, they would be that team that, if they lost twice at home, by the way, once to the eighth seed and once to the winner of the 9-10 game, they would be out. And I think right now, like, if we really flip this, that's the thing. I think you and me and Deuce even have debated, like, the Kings got in the play-in as a 10 or 9. Are they in the playoffs? What if we flip that and the Kings were in this spot where they're five games above 500? This would be one of the best seasons they had. There'd be so much excitement. They'd be hosting two games to advance.
Right.
Wah, wah. And it's like, Dallas feels like a playoff team to me. I don't know if the East.
I don't know.
Okay, you don't think they are. But is San Antonio, is Golden State, or the Kings, is Memphis?
I think
New
everybody
Orleans?
From in – that's why
– Dallas down?
Oddly enough, there's separation there. It's really weird.
Okay, well, let me just – let's flip it
from
then.
From six to seven, what is it? It's like four games or something?
Six to seven now is actually – what is that? 1.5. What if Dallas catches Portland?
Okay. And I think
feels like a playoff team.
I don't think that you're going to hear Portland complaining. I think that you're hearing Dallas and Luka and
Cuban
complain, because Cuban was one of the ones that was totally for this. Now they're not. You know why you're not? You're not because you're happen to be the guy that's on the outside looking in of being locked into a playoff series.
And you could tell that thought is really weighing on Luka.
You don't think the Mavs are hungry?
Oh, Mavs are hungry. Starving.
That's not something that you want to be heavy on your mind, though, at all.
Oh, I see what you did there.
But if you're Dallas, you can't let's do the scenario now. You can't beat Memphis once at home. If you don't, you get a second opportunity to beat. Today it would be San Antonio or Golden State at home.
Yeah,
if they lost both of them, you're out.
Listen, man, you don't deserve it then.
Right.
And the NBA would just be cutting fat then.
So you're okay with it?
I totally am.
Yeah.
I think that it's intriguing. It's something
it's more drastic? It was like a 50-win team, and that 9-10 is a 36 in an 82-game season, a 36-win team, and that team's in. But it's to avoid the tanking.
So if
right
you were the way that you said it,
I know
if you were a 50-win team, because that's how you said it, like you put emphasis on it.
When
what the hell are you? What the hell are you doing losing it to 36?
Yeah, good point.
So
at home,
yeah, it's like, and understand, it's going to happen, and then everyone's going to.
Should we relook at this? Well, it's kind of cool too. The one,
yeah. Let's go back and look at it. You didn't rebound.
Yeah.
You turned the ball over.
You
didn't make the free throws. Okay. Well,
yeah. To your point, you're right. Like if the 7 seed played well, they're winning.
They're winning.
So they probably would not have played well. Left the door open and. Blew it.
Yeah, I think it's once we see it happen, we can judge it.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be exciting. I think similar to baseball, more teams, more fan bases, different things like that. It's going to be good. If you're one of the teams that are not in the top six, do better.
Yeah. We'll do extreme example. Lakers keep fizzling just because of injury. They fall to 7. They get everybody back, but they have 2 bad days.
They're
out.
You're out.
You're not defending your title.
Right. Yeah. It's a 4-in, 4-out in the NFL.
Yeah.
How about that? Every year.
NCAA tournament, survive in advance.
Right. 16 versus a 1. Virginia versus, I don't even know who the hell, St. Bonaventure, whoever beat them that year is bye-bye.
Yeah.
This is... I don't – the fact that you're complaining – go handle your business.
Yeah.
Just handle your business on any given night.
Get to 6 as well. It's not like they still can't get there.
Eat.
Yeah. Well, they are.
Okay. Gobble up the competition.
Grill, fire pit, outdoor heaters.
So bad.
Cinch is the 100% answer for your propane needs. Cinch.com.
Make it a cinch!
We will come back. What to expect from tonight's Kings and Wizards game and Fox versus Westbrook. We'll talk about that matchup next on KHDK. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Yes, sir.
Jason Ross, Doug Christie. Capital Casino now open again with their outdoor gaming venue, 411 North 16th Street in Sacramento. I want to get into the Kings and Wizards game, which is coming up here tonight. I got the audio finally. You know, remember yesterday we were talking about Anthony Edwards, rookie for the Timberwolves, not knowing about Alex Rodriguez?
Yes.
You know, the new part of the ownership team, but the new owner for the Minnesota Timberwolves will officially become that. Here's that exchange between one of the members of the media in Minnesota and Anthony Edwards.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean, like, who is he?
The baseball player, Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's gonna be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
So there it is. I guess Alex Rodriguez reached out and sent him a tweet or Instagram or something and said, "Yo, Anthony, hey, it's me, Alex." And then, you know, they kind of went back and forth and had some fun there. But yeah, he didn't know who he was.
It's not a big deal, man.
Okay.
Everybody doesn't know who you are. I'm just saying. You're not Michael Jordan.
Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's big.
Do you think the other way? No one's asked the other way. Did Alex Rodriguez know Anthony Edwards?
Yeah.
Why?
I think he follows basketball.
Okay. and he should know the team he has, but
yeah.
A-Rod's actually a very big basketball fan.
Okay.
Who do you say?
A-Rod's a big basketball fan.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah, he actually wanted to be a basketball player growing up.
What is he? He's 6'4", 6'5"? Is he that tall?
Yeah, 6'4".
6'4", okay.
Is he?
What, you don't believe he's 6'4"?
When he showed up at the door, he didn't look 6'4".
How did you know? Did you open the door?
No.
Oh, okay.
In that situation, though, you lose a couple inches.
Oh, yeah, a little slumber. Christopher Lodge. Oh, you are special, sir. I think he knew who Anthony Edwards was, especially after that viral dunk the other day. I mean, he's like, ooh. And that's, you know, I'm part of that.
I mean, A-Rod's not that far removed.
Yeah, but even so, like, if you're not a baseball guy.
Okay.
Like,
man,
listen,
everybody knows who A-Rod is.
I'm with you, Jay.
Stop
like,
that.
I just.
Right. You know, the one thing I was going to ask you guys is Anthony Edwards has kind of been on the opposite side of some strange answers.
Okay.
Over the last year.
You got another one for me?
What was the one? What was the one he was getting interviewed right on the sideline right after the game? He had a big game. Oh, my goodness. Let me find it.
Cornbread with sugar or honey?
Yeah, there's been like two or three, even pre-draft, there was some kickback on, like, he's a strange cat. Like, a couple people, you know, in his draft profile. It's like, hey, man, he's a little weird. He's a little out there.
Okay. I'm just saying something. For me, I love sports. I really love basketball, but I love sports in general. I talk soccer with Chris and different, like, even like.
Man, you don't know nobody who's a spike ball player.
He will, though.
No, I don't think that's a.
That's new to you.
Okay, I think I got the quote here that Jay was talking about. It was before the draft. He said, "To be honest, I can't watch basketball." And he was just talking about how I'm good at basketball. I just don't watch it.
Okay. I think you even talked about that, D, because you were like, well, how can you, like, you know, you've been asked pre-draft, you know, at the combine. It was like, hey, rank them 1, 2, 3. What's the most important things in your life? And you're like, you know, the Lord, family, then basketball.
Yep. Basketball.
It has to be in your top three.
Right.
And I would say that might not be in the top three for him. So for many people, that might be like you don't care about it enough for us to draft you. Jay, that's, I think, even bigger today than it has been ever. Like, I don't think that kids watch as much basketball. Everything is sampled down to a 30-second, 18-second, 2 minutes and 20-second clip.
Or a top shot.
Or a top shot that they watch, and that's their thing. So studying the game, watching the game in its entirety is kind of not a thing.
Art.
So I think maybe he might be being honest, Jay. Like, I don't really watch hoop, which to me is, I don't understand that, but that's me.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, so wanted at least to hear the audio. We talked about it yesterday, didn't hear it. Tonight, by the way, Doug, we mentioned here, it's going to be the Kings and the Wizards. Russell Westbrook, obviously, and Bradley Beal will be a major concern. You mentioned all the points in the paint the last time they played. That's also Lopez getting in there, Hachimura, a few other guys getting some points inside. And when last I looked, it looks like it's doubtful. Yeah, it is doubtful tonight for Rashawn Holmes based on those hamstring tightness. Buddy Hield is questionable. Marvin, of course, is, you know, he's still out. But if points in the paint were a problem, one of your better interior defenders certainly is Rashawn Holmes, and he's out.
Yeah. Well,
or doubtful.
He is doubtful.
Yeah.
Buddy, questionable.
Correct.
So that will leave you. And as we're talking, we go ahead and make a scratch. That's going to leave you with. Even Mo Harkless at the five, maybe from time to time.
Barnes, Metu.
Damian Jones. I thought that Metu is going to, I think, do a quality job. He has been. And, how about Chris Silva? Does he get any run?
Mm.
Damian Jones, I think, did a really good job the other night. Now, that's one game. Let's see how he does this evening.
Yeah, when you got a guard like Westbrook, there are other guards that attack the rim. There's not many that attack it like him. I mean, there's just a velocity that he comes in there with, and he's trying to put one on you when he comes in there. Is there a different approach, or is it still just attack the ball and try to stop him?
From what standpoint?
From a big. So, like, you know, there's guards that come in there and try to shake you and go around you. Like, Westbrook, he might try to go right through you.
Yeah, he's going to try to put you in the rim.
Yeah.
It's a interesting answer because is he the type of player that you pick up that he's had the knee issue, all those different things? Do you put pressure on him? Do you get the ball out of his hand?
And he'll throw it away, too.
Yes, he will. I would be more like, it's almost like a bully. I'm attacking that. I'm not going to sit back and allow Russell to attack the team. What I'm going to say is pick him up. Let's turn him a couple times. He comes off of a pick and roll. We are going to trap him. Sometimes we will foul him. We're going to trap him, get the ball out of his hands. Key being, how hard is he going to work to get the ball back? Mm. Because as soon as he gives it up, he does not get it back.
Yeah.
And if he gets it back, guess what? You get a seat by me.
Yes. Well, all the while, too, you can't completely ignore Bradley Beal, the league's leading scorer.
Yes, but I totally agree with you. But we're just talking about Russell and how to attack him. Bradley Beal, he's one of those players, man, that you got to just play hard and play well and hope he's not hitting his shots.
Right.
Because he's got that type of game. Everything from finishing above the rim to the mid-range, floater, pure jump shot, high free throw percentage, and he shoots with range. I don't know if he's 50-40-90, but I'm pretty sure he's probably close.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. So the Kings try to get the season sweep of the Wizards. We'll talk more about this game coming up again. We will have game night coming your way at 5:30. In the next hour, we're going to check in with Terrence Mitchell, played his high school ball at Luther Burbank. He's now a member of the Houston Texans. We're going to talk with him. We got Chris's over-under. We got the crossover. But when we come back, either or, two topics, we debate which one you want, one or the other. Doug and I will discuss that next on KHDK.